It's been a week. I think you all feel the weight of only it being February 2nd, and yet here we are with multiple catastrophes and wars, and it's been a week. Today's sermon text is Luke 2, the story of Jesus being presented at the temple. 40 days after his birth. 40 days after Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph faithfully follow the law of Moses, bringing their infant son to the temple of Jerusalem. But it had been a week for them too. I don't know if we often think about it, about who was in the temple when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus. Typically, there would have been a lot of new parents bringing their children to the temple at the same time. Constantly in and out, just babies screaming everywhere. It's the sound we have a love-hate relationship with babies screaming, don't we, in religious spaces? We want them there screaming because it means there's young people in the church. We just wish they wouldn't be there screaming because we can't hear anything. And that's, it was true then too, babies screaming in the temple, but not that day. They had had a week. Herod had just killed all of the children, all the male children under the age of two and under. There's a good chance that was the only baby being brought to the temple that day. And I don't know how Mary and Joseph would have felt about that. Guilt-ridden? Terrified? Does that mean Herod missed one? Was he watching? There was a lot of fear that day in the temple. And I imagine fear did then what fear always does, and it left people at home. They didn't show up. I imagine the temple was less crowded that day than usual. I imagine Simeon and Anna didn't have to look too terribly hard to find the one screaming baby being brought into the temple in a gown that was passed down from generations that he didn't want to wear, in a time in which a screaming baby was a target. We read these stories, right? And we don't usually feel them. We read these stories and we forget that Mary and Joseph probably felt very much the same way that many of you do today. Scared, alone, terrified. They just didn't know what to expect. But this act of dedication, it was a sign of their obedience to God, wasn't it? It became this moment. That was so much more, though. They were just doing what they thought was right by them, which is the only thing you can do in a time like that. The only thing left to you when the sky is falling is just to do right by you. So that's what they did. But in the temple, these two elderly people, Simeon and Anna, have spent years waiting for God's salvation. Though the world around them had lost hope, they had not. They were the holdout. They were the last two that had not forgotten what it was to hope. Probably because they had lived through so much. They'd seen so many ups and downs. And when they see Jesus, they recognize him not just as a child, but as the fulfillment of all of God's promises, this light who has come to bring salvation to all people. So as we listen to this passage, I hope that we consider what it means to wait on God. After a week like this, we wait. We don't give up hope, we wait. To see how God's kingdom shines light in unexpected ways. Let's open our hearts to the word of the Lord from Luke 2, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem, to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. They offered a sacrifice, according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The man was righteous, devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel. It'll be a sign, they'll be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." And there's also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. And at that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own little town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This temple in Jerusalem was the center of Jewish worship for everybody, not just those who were local. This wasn't a local thing. It was more than regional. It was the one stop, the place where God's presence was. His promises were remembered in this place. This was the one place where you could go and there was still hope. There was still potential. Generations had prayed, sacrificed, waited for the day when God would fulfill the covenant and bring salvation. But when Mary and Joseph arrived to dedicate their infant son, even though everybody else was there waiting for God to do something amazing, only two recognized the long-awaited Messiah in this little baby. Simeon and Anna were different. They'd spent their lives watching, waiting. Simeon was guided by the Holy Spirit. He had been promised that he would see the Lord's salvation before his death. And Anna, this extraordinary woman who had worshipped in the temple for decades, fasting and praying with expectation. Unlike everyone else, these two had not grown weary and they had not given up hope. But still, how surprising it must have been. This Messiah did not arrive as a mighty warrior, no conquering king, there's no chariot, there's no whirlwind of fire, there's no parting of the seas. There's just this helpless little infant carried in the arms of two very terrified parents who are just hoping they can sneak him in without anybody noticing. These are two parents who wanted to get in and out quickly without their child screaming and without anybody noticing they were even there. Best case scenario, they left, and the only person who knew they were ever there was the priest. And his arrival did not bring any sort of immediate overthrow of Rome. It's not like he crossed the threshold and the angels started singing from heaven. There's no grand expectations of long sought for deliverance being revealed on this day. It's just a kid. But the salvation of God had come, just not in the way that anybody expected. Because God's work is often hid in the ordinary. Those who are waiting for great displays of power, they just usually miss the quiet entrance of the king. Herod makes a lot of noise. The emperors of Rome, they make a lot of noise. Pontius Pilate makes a lot of noise. Rulers make noise. And it's not noise like a baby. Nobody expected this. Nobody looks around at the children in the room and thinks one day they're going to be the leaders of the next great countries. God's work is often hidden in the holiest and quietest and most unexpected of places. And it is possible to miss God's presence if you're just not really looking for it. Because waiting is difficult. Our world longs for change, for justice, for redemption, and it often feels as if those things are slow in coming. And like the people in Jesus' day in the temple that very day, many today still wonder when God's going to do something. When suffering will end, when peace will come, when his kingdom will be fully revealed. There's this wonderful scene in Revelation that I think is the most relatable thing in all of Scripture, where those who have died for the faith are sitting at the feet of God in the throne room of heaven, and even they, in the very presence of God, look up and say, enough is enough, when are you going to do something? In the presence of God, looking face to face with the Almighty, even those people still have the gumption to say, you're going to do something yet? That's who we are, isn't it? We want God to do something, to fix it. And it's easy to become weary in waiting. We are fatigued in our waiting. We see the wars draw on and drag on. We see injustice persist. Darkness seems to press in. People cry out for healing, for hope, for deliverance, and those answers just don't always come in the way or the timing that we want. So doubts creep in, and we start to wonder, has God truly forgotten us? Is he really working in the world? Even this week, I saw a thing that got sent to me by someone else who I think thought it was funny, because if you don't laugh, it's too sad. It was somebody who was legitimately wondering if all of this, the world, was just one of God's old save files that he had abandoned and forgotten, as if God had been playing the game and we're just one version of the game and we've been abandoned, left to rot here on our own. And yes, it's a bit Matrix-y to say it like that, and there probably was a joke in there somewhere, but I think that person who recorded that video originally really does feel abandoned. That's real. It's couched in humor. Not well, but it's couched in humor, but it's a real feeling of abandonment. But even when God is present, when God does show up, like this moment in this temple in Jerusalem all those years ago, we still don't recognize it. We don't see it. Just as the Messiah stood in the temple unnoticed by most, Christ is at work in this world. We just don't usually see it. We expect grand signs, the dead to rise. But then if you go on YouTube and you look up, and you can do this, you should spend your afternoon doing this, videos about resurrections, you're going to think they're all fake. You want it to happen, but if it does happen, you don't assume it's true. We don't see it. We don't have the eyes for it, the ears for it. We expect big things, and then when we get big things, we don't believe it. So God comes in quiet moments, in the ordinary, in ways that require faith to perceive it. Simeon didn't see it on his own. He had to be shown it by the Holy Spirit. This is one of the greatest struggles of faith, is trusting that God's promises are true when the fulfillment is not immediate or easily seen. Will we, like Simeon and Anna, continue to watch and wait with expectation, or do we grow numb, discouraged, blind to the ways that God is doing things around us? At some point, and we can argue at which point, I prefer to think it's at many, many points, at many, many points, we have convinced ourselves that God did things back then but doesn't do things now because he doesn't need to, and I think that's our coping mechanism for letting God off the hook and letting ourselves off the hook of expecting to see God at work. But that's just not the truth of it. The truth of it is God has always been doing things in the world. We've never been abandoned. We just don't know how to look anymore. We've forgotten how to see. The world is waiting for light to break through the darkness, but I have to wonder if we would even recognize it when it comes. In the midst of the waiting, God's promise is fulfilled. Simeon is led by the Spirit. He takes the infant Jesus in his arms, proclaims that salvation has come, and not just for Israel, but for all people, that this is the light of revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. And what was once longed for so long is now in his arms. Just not what he expected it to look like. Anna, too, she sees this and she rejoices. She doesn't hesitate. There's no doubt here. There's this immediate revelation. She sees this happening and she thinks, yes, this is it. And she immediately begins praising God and telling others about the child. Did you see the kid? That's not just any kid. And so Mary and Joseph, the parents who wanted to come in and out without anybody noticing, now have to contend with Simeon, who's holding the baby like Mufasa or like Simba in The Lion King. And Anna's over here pointing and screaming, do you see the cute baby? And she's probably doing a deaf whisper, right? She's probably losing her hearing. She's probably screaming a lot louder than she thinks she is. Did you see this kid? Did you see the baby? Go look at the kid. Because she hasn't seen one in a while because Herod killed them all. What a terrible, wonderful day. Nobody had seen a kid in a while. They didn't know what to do about that. And Mary and Joseph don't know what to do about that. Anna spent decades in this temple waiting. She sees Jesus as the answer to every single one of her prayers. This kid, this infant, this 40-day-old screaming, smelly thing. And her faith allows her to see what others overlooked. The kingdom of God is already breaking into the world. It's already happening. It's not tomorrow. It's not, you didn't miss it. It's happening right now. God's grace is revealed at that moment, not just in fulfilling his promises, but in the way it's done. Salvation does not come through political power or through military conquest. There's no amount of legislation to be signed that's going to ever save the world. It happens through the quiet arrival of a child. Through the quiet arrival of a child that the world tried to prevent from ever arriving. And Simeon and Anna, their joy, it's not just for them, it's for everyone. They want everyone to join them in this huge revelation. The light of Christ has come, that the kingdom of God is really near, that it's finally happening. And though the world still waits for that full redemption, for the presence of Jesus that assures us that God is faithful, you need to know that you have not been forgotten. You are not a forgotten people. The promise of salvation is not distant. It's not for something after you die. It is here in Christ this very day, especially after the week you've had. The kingdom of God is not just something we wait for in the future. It's already breaking into the world, especially when darkness seems overwhelming. His presence remains, bringing hope, healing, redemption to those who can trust, who can look for it. And like Simeon and Anna, we are called to recognize that God is at work in the unexpected places, in unexpected ways. God is present in the quiet moments of faithfulness, in the lives of those who serve others with love, in the persistence of those who hope even when the world gives them reasons to despair. Christ continues to shine light in the places we least expect, among the broken, the weary, those who have waited for far too long. But recognition is just, it's not enough. Simeon did not just see Jesus, he proclaimed it. Anna did not just keep the good news to herself, she shared it with those longing for redemption, with everybody else who wished she would just be quiet and leave them alone. She would not, she refused to, she had to tell everyone. We too are called to bear witness to the light of Christ, sharing his hope with a world that desperately needs it. And the world's going to think you're crazy because you're pointing at things that don't make sense, that don't look like salvation. You're going to say things like you have to lose your life to find it, and everybody else is going to say, I've lost enough. You're going to say things to the rest of the world like the first will be last and the last will be first, and everyone else is going to think, for what? What are we standing in line for? None of this makes any sense. But the kingdom of God has truly come, and its light does continue to grow. In Christ, salvation is not a distant promise. It is a present reality. It's why you show up today on a week like this. It's not for hope in something in the future. It's for hope now. We wait for his return. But while we wait, we live as people of light, and we see Christ at work, rejoicing in his presence, proclaiming his salvation to all who long for hope. The promise is fulfilled, and yet redemption is still near. So we wait, but we wait with hope. And as we come to this table in a few moments, we are reminded that the salvation that Simeon and Anna rejoiced over is the same salvation offered to us. They held an infant Jesus in their arms, recognizing him as the fulfillment of God's promises. We hold in our hands bread and cup, signs of that same promise fulfilled in his life, his death, his resurrection. They held Jesus high, proud, screaming at the top of their lungs for anyone who could hear and for those who were trying not to, that this Jesus, this kid, matters. We hold in our own hands the same thing. But what do we do with it? Simeon declared that Jesus would be a light for revelation to the nations. And at this table, we remember that his body was broken, his blood was poured out, so that all people, all of them, the ones you like and especially the ones you don't, near and far, might share in the redemption that this child brings. So as we receive this meal, may we do so with the same faith, the same joy that filled Simeon and Anna, knowing that in Christ, God's salvation has come and his kingdom is near. So hold on for a little longer, and may you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear the wonderful things that the light of Christ is doing in this world around you. Let's stand and sing.